wrongly accused until he was in prison. And the father sent him a letter in prison. The father's letter read like this, unfortunately. This year I'm unable to plant potatoes because I can't dig the ground. I know if you were here, you would help me. The son dashed off an immediate reply. The son wrote, "Father, don't dig that ground. That's where I hid my guns." The next day, the police arrived at the farmer's house, and they dug up the garden, and they looked all over and couldn't find it. The next day, the son sent another letter. "You can plant your potatoes now, Dad. That was the best I could do from here." You got the place to dig it up. Okay, that's hidden wisdom. That's the son hiding in the letter something that's bigger than the actual situation. And today, we're looking at what Paul indicates as hidden wisdom as well. Hidden from the world, but hidden for us to enjoy. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth was a corrective letter. That's what the first letter is. It's meant to correct where they had strayed off. The Corinthian church had strayed off the central message of what Christianity is all about. They had strayed off into thinking that all behavior was now permissible. They strayed off into the minefield that it's not us doing it together, but it's all about me and all about what I want to do. And so Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, the first one, to indicate, here's how you get back. Here's what it means to be a Christian. Here's how you come back into the core of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He began with the core of Christianity, that deep thought. What if we could boil it all down? What's Christianity all about? And I thought, you know, Google has answers for everything. So I Googled it. I Googled, what's the core of Christianity? It sent me to a number of websites. I'm going to give you two of them. The first one was Got Questions, and that was the name of the website. If you ever have questions, they'll answer it for you. I know it would be right, but they'll answer it for you. So they went, here's what they said. Jesus did not come to start a new religion. He came to bring a relationship with the Almighty God. It's actually really true. And then he gave a full page of what the core beliefs of Christianity are. I mean, it was like scroll. I got exhausted, so I went to number two. I want to find, what's the core? What's a one-sentence thought? What does it mean to be a Christian? So I went to this page called Learn Religions, and it started off with, this question's no simple matter. Yeah, that's why I Googled you. And so then it went on to say, if you want to know the core of Christianity, go to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. By the way, we don't do that last one in church. It is really long. It's like the longer or the short confession of faith. You know, we humans, we always make this mistake. We make that which is simple complex. That's why we get so confused over the faith. We want it to be harder than what it really is. It's more difficult than what it's presented to us. And that's the criticism, actually, that Jesus leveled against the Pharisees of the first centuries. They made it too complex. In fact, Jesus said of them, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on a person's shoulders. It's like Christianity's too weighty. It's too hard to follow. So Paul, a recovering Pharisee, he knew this. So he boils down the faith into a single one-sentence creed. One thought, even. It's only a few letters, a few words. He starts off with a preface. Mind you, Paul's a good lawyer. So before he gets to the real point, he gets to talk a lot of words. Here's the preface. I did not come with superiority of speech, nor did I come with great wisdom. I came with the testimony of God. And then he gave us the statement. This is the core. Christianity. I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the core of our message. That's where we begin. After this, we make exploratory statements. What does that really mean? We make explanatory statements. How do we go deeper in this thought? How do we go closer to Jesus Christ? That's why we share a creed each and every week, like the apostles, or the Nicene, or what we've been doing is a shorter catechism. Christ crucified. That's our core message. It's that the eternal came for us, the human. The eternal sacrificed himself for us humans, every one of us. And this was the plan in place from the moment that Eve and Adam bit of that forbidden fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that God had in place a plan that he would be stand in our place, that he would take our sins away by taking them into him. This original sin is part of our DNA structure. We have within us the desire not to follow God. That's part of human fabric since the dawn of creation, and God says, I have a plan to deal with that. To keep our desire in check, to restore us to the pre-Apple days. I'm not talking about your computer. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. Those days before that, Christ went to the cross. That's what we have. These symbols all throughout the church. This is a voluntary sacrifice for a humanity that never wanted it. For us sinners. And it's given to us to restore us. To transform us into what God intended for us all along. This relationship with the Almighty that happens through the cross. But we humans have made this way too complex. And so because we've made it complex, it looks like it's hidden. It looks like it's something that there's special knowledge to know about. We convince ourselves that we're not sinners. And thus we don't need anyone to die for us. We convince ourselves that we are capable of making ourselves good enough. We can save ourselves. We convince ourselves that I'm okay. I don't need God. That denies the core of Christianity. And it denies what Christ did. Christ died to make us good. We weren't good before. Christ saw us as worthy and went to the cross to save us as a result of that. We're not okay as sinners. We do need a Savior. You see, the world can't see this. It's too simple. It's as if it's like a message, like Paul said. Let me give you an example. When my twins were little, they're 33 years old now, in our backyard in Virginia Beach, that's where we lived when they were first born, we had gum trees, 15 of them. I counted them. 15 gum trees. You know what gum trees do? They drop gum balls. They're these little things that are like spiny. You can't walk on them. They ruin your mower. They ruin your yard. You have to pick them up. So I thought, brilliant me. I'll get my twins to help me. Now, they were only about two at the time. And I thought, we got made. So I pointed out what a gum ball looked like. I said, for everyone they pick up, I give them a penny. So I sent them off. And I'm sitting there in the bucket waiting for them to come back. They brought rocks. They brought grass. They brought leaves. Not one single gumball. So I said, look, right there, there's a gumball. Brian reaches down, picks up a handful of grass. I said, no, I got a gumball. It was as if they were hidden from their sight. And that's the core of this message of Christianity. We can't see it, even though it's right in front of us. Roy T. Bennett, a commentator, put it this way. If you are not grateful for what you already have, what makes you think you'd be happy with more? And it's so true. We humans, that's our desire. Our desire makes it hard for us to see God's answer right in our midst. That's why there's greed and adultery, and you know, that's why there's lying in this world, because we need this cross. We need the Savior who's on it. And the hidden wisdom is that through this cross, through the death of Jesus, our sins are wiped away. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we can live as Jesus intended. The reason why this is important for us to acknowledge, our faith is a faith of revelation. In the sense that God showed to us what we need. We don't have to figure it out. One of the first revelation pieces I want to show to you is this. Don't know who that is? That's Moses. Those are the Ten Commandments he's holding. I have this in my office. By the way, our women's Bible study is about the Ten Commandments. And if you come, I'll tell you about commandment number 4. You have to come. All right? And so this was the first time God said, I'm revealing to you what the behaviors I expect of you. I think so highly of you, I'm going to give you 10 sets of boundary rules. Follow them. Well, we humans make it really hard. So we can't. So God then said, I'm going to give you a vehicle by which you can follow them. He gave us the church. And out of the church, we find that we can do this together. And as the church, there are certain things we need to do to announce to the world that we've gotten it. That the revelation is not hidden from us, but has been ingested, taken into our heart. Let me give you a couple things. Oh, there's things in the inside. First off, we announce it to the world. That's a ram's horn. One of our very generous church members gave that to me. You're supposed to be able to blow with it. I've not mastered it yet. I'm working on it. But you announce to the world that there is no longer a hidden method back to God. It is now very clear that it's through Jesus Christ, through the follower, being a follower of Christ. One of the ways we do that, oh, there's more inside this church, is by being a light. This, by the way, is, we got this in Nazareth when we were in Israel. And it is actually a clay pot. Like they would, you fill it with oil, and then the wick burns when you light it, and it gives you a light. Now, the power of this is that we announce to the world that we follow the light of Christ, and that as a result of having the light within us, we live differently. So if someone offends us, guess what we don't do? Hit them back. We don't offend them back. We're nice and kind. Oh, that's harder, right? But that's what we're called to do. That's what the cross expresses for us. And so this expresses the fact that we are light in this world. Now, interestingly enough, the reason why I was in the church is that because we lights gather here. One light in the world gives one little bit of light. But imagine if you had 100 lights together. That's you, folks. Actually, we have more than 100 today. When we gather together and proclaim the love of Jesus Christ, we have a bright light into this world. In our church, which is 374 members strong, we just did this statistical analysis, we announce to the world that love is stronger than hate. That's us carrying our light into the world. Now, why do we do that? What is the power behind all of it? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. By the way, this is a really fancy one that I have on my desk. It's got jewels on it. I think one jewel at least. And this announces to the world that we follow a great Savior. This one here, meant to wear around your neck, it's heavier though. It is, we got this one in Israel as well, at the Sea of Galilee. It's announcing the bread and loaves that Jesus carried into the event 5,000. But this one announces to the world once again that we are sustained by Jesus Christ. And then the final one. I have a little tiny one here. It's a little tiny cross. This is meant to be a comfort cross. That's how they're sold. You carry it in your pocket. And this is a reminder every time you reach in for your cell phone or your keys. Or you reach in for whatever you keep in your pocket, that we've been called to a deeper place, a better place. We've been called by a crucified Lord to serve in his resurrection moments. So realize, we have a lot of symbols, and the symbols communicate the core of Christianity, this one primarily, that Jesus came for us to bring us back to God. Let's go to God. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing symbols we have found in your love. We thank you for Jesus, because he's the ultimate gift of showing us who you are. We praise you that he went to the cross, that he did not simply announce he loved us, he showed he loved us. He didn't simply show us he loved us, he took all of our sin for all of eternity onto who he is, because he is God. And we thank you, Lord God, that when we give it to you, it's forgiven. It's gone. And we can live as your servants. Thank you for the cross, for Christ crucified. Thank you that we live in the era now of him resurrected. It's in his name we pray. Amen.